All right. Thank you, Brother Ken.
So good to see you here today. Man, praise the Lord. It's good to be together with you. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with you to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We are talking about prayer this morning, asking and seeking and knocking. I tell you, at the core of our communion with God is the fact that we do have a faithful Father who is good, who loves us. I was even thinking about that the cross is the foundation of our prayer, in that because we see His goodness, we see His love, we see His sacrifice on behalf of sinners, and because He loves us, He tells us to come to Him, to call on Him, to ask and it will be given. To seek and you will find, to knock and it will be opened to you. So we're going to talk about prayer this morning. I tell you, it's in the world in which we live, we spend more time talking about prayer or maybe hearing about prayer than we do actually praying. Even this week, several times in my study, I just became convicted and would just take some time out to spend time in prayer. I hope and pray that in 2022 that we make New Year's resolutions and we think about things that we can do better or we can be more effective in. I pray that prayer would be a focus of us as individuals, and prayer would be a focus of our church as we seek God with all of our heart. If you look at the text there, it says in verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. We see here that Jesus is saying to ask and to seek and to knock, and we will find. Now, before I get into a little bit about that and talk a little bit about that, I wanted to go back to the core of. Remember the Sermon on the Mount, God is dealing with our heart. He's talking to the Pharisees, He's talking to believers, specifically believers right here, because only believers can approach God in prayer, knowing that He will give us what we need, He will give us what we ask for. And at the heart of prayers is motives or desires. And in just a minute, we're going to look at a father that if a son asks his father for a piece of bread, what loving father would give him a stone? Or if he asked him for a piece of fish, what loving father would give him a serpent? So implied in that is our father's heart gives us what we need. Now you think about it, if you just read these verses without that, where asking it will be given, seek and you shall find, and knock and it will be opened to you, if you read that apart from the full context of knowing the heart of the Father, we would think, well, just ask, and almost like genie in a bottle, right? Some of us think prayers work like that. We just kind of, we wish for it, close our eyes, we speak it to God, and we kind of name it, claim it, and it's ours, right? Well, old Garth Brooks sang a song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers, right? How many times have you prayed for something and gone back and said, Lord, thank you for not giving me what I asked for? The reality is we're not all knowing, we're not all wise, we're not all powerful, but our Heavenly Father is. And He's given us Romans 8:32 in the very best gift He could give us, in the gift of His Son. And that loving Father is going to give us what we need. But He wants us to ask. He wants us to seek. He wants us to knock. There's levels of our asking, seeking, and knocking. I was thinking about my son sometimes. Sometimes they can't find their daddy. Some of you daddies may be like this. Sometimes you just kind of retreat. You're like, man, if I just slip out and I can hide and maybe they can't find me. Anybody else like that? Will's like, Daddy, really? Well, sometimes I just disappear, and they might start talking to me, and if I'm close by, they'll ask for something. And then if they can't find me, if it's a little harder to find me, what do? They start seeking out for Daddy. Where's Daddy? Daddy may be at the church. So they walk across the street. Then they get to the door. Guess what? The door's closed. Maybe locked with the blinds down. I don't know. But the door's closed. Well, guess what? Then they're going to knock. And their dad's going to open the door. All right? Sometimes God feels closer to us than at other times. But nonetheless, He wants us to ask. He wants us to seek. And He wants us to knock. And if we'll ask, it'll be given. If we seek, we'll find. And if we'll knock, it will be opened to you. Now, I can't help but to think about, in looking at prayer, let's just refresh what we've already learned from prayer. Because Jesus, on this sermon of three chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he's talked quite a bit about prayer. And first thing he said was things like, just how not to pray, right? He said that the hypocrites just babble on. They like to be known for their loud and many, many words, right? You know, it's interesting to think about that hypocrites like to pray. They enjoy their loud noises and song. I mean, their repetitious words. He says, don't pray like that. He says, go into a quiet place. You know, I was thinking about that movie, The War Room, that Patricia Shirey, right? Yeah. On that movie that was out where she had a special place to pray. Many of you probably have a special place to where you do business with the Lord. And a lot of times with prayer, a lot of times in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says pray continuously. So there is a specific place, and we like to get a place to pray. It could be in our closet, it could be our kitchen table, it could be on our back porch as we drink coffee. A lot of times with spending time in prayer, prayer is communion with God. So a lot of times when you pray, it's good to have God's Word close by, or either at least a phone, something where you can reflect on Scripture passages. Because a prayer is dialogue. Prayer is praying, but with the heart to a Father that wants to also communicate with us. This is the way God communicates with us, through His Word. And so whether it's in a quiet place, whether it's in through the daily routines and our active schedules, in a spirit of prayer, I'd like to talk about that, walking in the spirit of prayer. Know what this means? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I tell you, I've enjoyed this week's study of prayer, and I almost feel overwhelmed to preach on prayer, because you could do a series, you could talk for months on prayer, and for me to come up and to take four verses here, and to talk to you about prayer, I'm going to give a lot at you this morning. It's simple in its focus in what the text says, but it's very diverse in all that we can talk about with prayer. So I'm not going to try to hit prayer from every angle this morning. I want to take you back and forth to and from the text. But I want you to know that prayer is communion with God. Prayer is to be done in a quiet place, talking to God. It's to be done with the proper motives. I can't help but think of what Jesus says. I pray for God's will to be done. Now, before we talk more about motives, there's a way that God told us to pray. And I want to look at the heart behind the prayers that he said, and then we're going to refresh just real quickly on the Lord's Prayer. But in thinking about prayer, he says this. He says, it's communion with God. Prayer is an emptying of myself and my own lust and my desires. Andrew Murray gave us some things that I may quote here in a little bit. About prayer. It's 199 treasures of wisdom on talking with God. An amazing missionary to Africa that wrote a good bit on prayer. Let me look right here and see. So in looking at prayer, Jesus talks about, he gives us a little bit about his heart, and he tells us how to pray. Do you remember when this message we talked about? He says, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be the name, the kingdom come, thy will be done. So in Jesus teaching us on prayer, he said that his nature, his will, his purposes, his glory, his name is what's important, as Jesus says, praying to the Father. And then he goes on to say, give us this day our daily bread. So we're to pray for specific needs. Pray specifically for our needs. Here it is. He says, the things that we need, we're to ask for. It's communion with God, closeness, dependence, fellowship, worship, intercession, confession, thanksgiving. We're to pray without ceasing. He says, pray, Father, forgive us our day for our daily bread. And then he says, so we're thinking about the things that we need that God wants to give us. Next, he says, pray like this. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So prayer is also a way to keep right with God, a closeness, a communion with God. It's a way to be restored. It's a way to interact with Him daily, to walk closely with Him and to Him. I was thinking about a church that we talk about prayer. If we pray more, we're going to do what? We're going to worry less, right? If we pray more this year, we're going to love more. Because in prayer, we're seeking the heart of God. We're seeking interacting with Him. We're confessing things to Him. We're keeping clear communication. We're walking intimately with Him through His Word as He communicates with us and as we talk with Him. So prayer, praying to God, we're going to worry less. Anybody need to worry less? If all you ever do is watch the news, you're going to worry more. But when you take, like the song says, when you take it to the Lord in prayer, you're going to find a solace there. All right? If you pray more, you said you're going to love more because you're going to reflect the heart of God. You're going to be more patient with others. You're going to be more compassionate with others. You're going to be a more faithful follower of Jesus when you pray more. Right? Who wants to just be more committed to Christ? Who wants to be a faithful follower, a faithful disciple of His? Then pray without ceasing, Paul told the Thessalonian church. Pray in the spirit of prayer. Pray silently. Pray like this. God, give us what we need. God, help me, restore me, give me forgiveness, and help me to forgive others. So praying like this is going to help us love others. There's a lot of bitterness that people harbor because of lack of prayer, of lack of giving it to God. Praying more is, you're going to be a better leader. You say, well, I'm not a leader. Yes, you are. Everybody's somewhat of a leader. A leader just means you're influencing people. How are you influencing people? You've got family, you've got friends, you've got co-workers. Seeking the heart of God who is trustworthy, who is dependable. That's what I was looking at in my notes right here. And for whatever, oh, there it is right there. You know, in knowing the heart of God and seeking Him in prayer, it's interesting and it's important to think about the heart of the one to whom we're praying. In this text, we hear He wants us to pray, and He said He's faithful to give us what we need. Ask, seek, and knock, and it you're going to receive. You're going to find, and it's going to be opened unto you. So in doing that, we've got someone who is dependable. He says, I'm going to give it. I want to give it. I will long for you to commune with me. So His heart of a father, He's dependable. Man, I love it when my little boy asks me for stuff. I love it when he says, Daddy, I need you to do this, or I want you to help me in this. Ask me for homework. It don't matter how busy I am. I can't say this is 100% of the time. Most of the time, if my little boy says, Daddy, will you help me with this math problem? I'm sorry if y'all, you know, some of y'all may have an important need, but if my little boy asks for me to help him with a math problem, I'm sorry, but your phone call is probably going to be put on hold for a second. Because I long to help my son. I long to help him with that math problem. Right, if he's got a need, if he's in a ditch, if he's got a question, if he's in a crisis, I want him to call on me. I want him to depend on me. I want to offer him what wisdom God gives me. Now, the thing is, it says that the Lord's going to say this in this text. If you want to go back down and look at it with me, Matthew chapter 7. He says verse 9. Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Now I want to tell you, I don't have all wisdom. I'm not all powerful. I'm not completely trustworthy. I'm not all dependable like our heavenly good Father is. But I still have a desire to give good gifts to my son and my daughters when they need whatever they need. I desire to help them. And you know what? I'm a depraved sinner. You know, that's actually what this is talking about right here, is the doctrine of original sin, the doctrine of human depravity. Even in our depraved minds, even in there's none righteous, no, not one, even though our hearts are deceitfully wicked, above all else, who can know it? Even though all like sheep we have all gone astray, we who are earthly fathers still know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more so a Heavenly Father? You know, I notice at the very bottom of this, it says, our Father who is in heaven. That's amazing. That's something that if you don't think about it, you don't pull it out. You don't bring it out. But our Heavenly Father's in heaven. Do you know what that means? He's God. He's omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful. He's omniscient in that He's all-knowing. And then it says He seeks to give good gifts
to his children. Now think, let that sit in for a minute. He's able, he's all powerful, he's all knowing, and he's in heaven. That's where we're going, amen. Where are we going for our source? Who are we calling on? God's there for you, and he tells us to come to him. He tells us to pray to him. He's dependable, he's trustworthy, he's good. He's in heaven. He sees all things. He knows what we need. He gives the best gifts to us. So we said, worry less, love more, be a faithful follower of Jesus, be a better leader. And lastly, just thinking, and we could go on and on and on about praying more, what that brings. But praying more makes us a better spouse and a better mom and a better dad, right? How many of you want to be a better spouse? None of y'all may raise your hand, but you need to be. Some of us could stand to be a better spouse. Some of you looked at your husband and wife, and they're probably looking back at you, right? Hopefully we want to be a better mom. Hopefully we want to be a better dad. Then pray more. Pray more. Commune with God. Spend time with him. Ask him to lead you. Ask him to guide you. Ask him to give us our daily bread. Ask him to forgive us our trespasses. Ask him to, and the next one was, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Can you think about what that means there? That means keep my eyes and hands and feet from evil and me on the right path. God, as I walk with you and I want to pray these type things, keep my feet from stumbling. Keep my feet from going certain places. Keep my eyes from looking at certain things. Protect me from these temptations. Lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Communing with God helps us. We need to pray those type prayers. Depending on the Father for good gifts. Communing with the Father in right relationship, asking him to forgive us our trespasses. Communing with him saying, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And as we pray these things, we need to reflect on the heart of God. He's dependable. He's trustworthy. He's caring. He's all-knowing. And he's in heaven. He's in heaven. Be a better spouse, mom, and dad. Jesus invites us to pray. He makes promises to us if we pray. Pray often, pray regularly, pray confidently. As I told you, he makes himself available at different levels. No matter where you find God immediately, if you find him close at hand or almost untouchable with his nearness, or hard to see with barriers between, remember the door? Anybody can knock. You don't have to have a PhD to knock. You can be not very smart to knock. God does, he says, anybody, call on me. He will hear and he will give our good things to you because you look to him and not another. Everyone who asks receives, it says. And this is talking about believers. He's talking to believers here. John 1:12 says, see if I can quote it for you. John 1:12, to those who call upon the Lord, he gave the right to become children of God. John 1:12, I'm going to quote it to you, something like that, but I don't want to misquote the scriptures. To them who called upon him, he gave, John 1:12, here we go. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He gave the right to become children of God. Y'all, there's a closeness when we've been adopted into the family and our Father, Abba Father, loves us, calls us to himself. And the reason I said earlier that the cross is foundational for that is because it says he gave the right to become children of God to those who received him, to those who called on him. Matthew 20:28 says, it says, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was the grounds for us calling on him. Because it's that cross that made all the difference. He loves us. He cares about us. He's already removed our sin. He's already cleansed us. He's already given us Himself. And He says, now continue to ask. Continue to seek. Continue to knock. Because I love you and I want to continue to give.
Our Heavenly Father, we are coming to our Father. Think about that. He's our Father.
He's ours. You know, many of you may not have had a good father. It's sad. That movie we're going to see in Valentine's Day, it's a documentary that it's about many, many fathers that just were bad fathers. They didn't care about their kids. They cared about themselves. We live in a broken world, and many of you may know what that means, to have a bad father. Guys, we've got a loving, caring Father. And He's our Father.
Our Heavenly Father is better than our earthly father. Our Heavenly Father is better than our earthly father. I was fortunate to have a good father. He wasn't perfect. He wasn't perfect. You know, I think every little boy thinks that their dad's hung the moon. And he might or may not, may or may not be a good dad, but since he's our dad, right? He can fix anything. He's good. He's big. He's stronger than any of you other dads' dad, any of other you men's dad. He's our dad, right? We don't know who to compare him to. He's good. He's our daddy. He may or may not be good. We know he's not perfect, but our Heavenly Father's perfect. Our Heavenly Father's good. And our Heavenly Father is the best Father. And our Heavenly Father knows what we need before we need it, and He gives us what we need when we think we need something else. Let's go back to the text. He says it there. He says, if he asks for, which one of you, if his son asks him for a bread, will give him a stone? Or which one asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Any of y'all ever ask for, you know, the thing is here, he's saying if your child asks you for something, you're not going to give him something that's harmful. A stone's not very productive, right, if you're hungry. I guess that's kind of where you'd be asking for bread. A fish, if you're hungry, you know, they were forbidden to eat anything with scales, like probably because serpents were kind of unclean to Jewish people. And scales, they weren't, even fish with scales, they stayed away from, probably because it may identify with the serpent. But snake didn't serve any purpose. It was kind of been cursed. It was something bad. But if you ask for fish or bread, you're asking for something you need, something that's good for you. What father's going to give you a stone or a serpent? Especially a good father that cares about you. But the sad reality is, and y'all hear me here, many of us ask for stones and serpents. Any of y'all know what I mean? God, please give me this. I got to have it. I need it. It's got to come. Everybody in my class has got one of these. God, I love her so much, and we're going to get married. We start telling God what we need, right? We know what's best, right? God, she loves me, and she's pretty good. She's a pretty good girl. She goes to church every once in a while, and her dad's not too bad, and he just beats his wife a little bit. But God, I love her so much. We start in our mind rationalize what we need and when we need it and how we need it. God, thank you for unanswered prayers. He knows what you need. Ask Him. What's neat about the asking, the seeking, and the knocking, as we commune with God, we're going to know what to, He's told us what to ask for. He helps us know what to ask for. But what's glorious about this is even when we ask amiss, He loves us enough to not give us what we ask for. I think that's why He tells us to pray, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. At the heart of every prayer should be the heart of God. Because ultimately, if we're kingdom focused, we want God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. We want His will to be done. So why are you praying for your will to be done? Because we're not praying like we need to pray. That's why He's saying, pray like this. And then at the very end of that, it says,
Lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Do you really mean that when you pray? For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. It's all about you. It's about your kingdom. It's about your glory. It's about your will. It's about your purposes. It's about me being submissive. It's about me being surrendered. It's about me being broken and humble before you. It's about me calling on you because I need you. It's about me who is unwise and wicked and going my own direction, needing you because you're good and you're all powerful and you are trustworthy and you are dependable. And I need you, Father. Do you see at the heart of our prayer is the foundation of the cross in that we have died to self? Then we pray like this to a loving Father because He loves us and He cares for us and He's right and pure and holy and just in all of His ways, and He's going to give His children what we need.
Let us be a people this year in 2022, that there's a people that cries out to the Father, that depends on Him, that trusts Him, that at the core and the root of our prayers is a faith in a good foundational reality, and that is our Father who is in heaven knowing what we need. Amen. I'm sure I could say so much more, but that seems like a good stopping place, don't it? Seems like a good stopping place. Let us love and serve Him. Let us cry out to Him. Let us depend on Him. And He, who knows what we need, I'm going to read the text and I'm going to pray. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Keep praying. Keep persisting. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you will seize his son, has a son, and ask for bread, and you'll give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him? Ask Him. You're exercising faith and love when you ask Him. Come to Him. Depend on Him. Trust Him. Express your faith by crying out to Him. And don't stop. Keep seeking. Keep asking. Keep knocking. And He's going to keep leading. He's going to keep guiding. And He's going to keep providing. Let's pray. Father, we love You so much. We thank You for Your many blessings. We thank You that You are faithful, You are good, You are dependable, You are trustworthy, and You are in heaven. Meaning to me that You are all-powerful, You are all-knowing, and You're protecting us. Lord, oftentimes we don't know how to pray, but You told us how to pray. And so, Lord, may we just maybe use fewer words because You tell us You know our heart before we even call out to You. But, Lord, may by Your Spirit live in the presence of Christ, may we, God, walk in the spirit of prayer, calling out to You, God, depending on You. Lord, You are what we need. Jesus is our treasure. Help us, God, to be a praying church. Help us to be praying individuals. Help us to worry less and be a better leader, to be a better spouse, to be a better faithful follower of Jesus. By praying more, God. Thank You for this church. Lead them. Instruct them. Help them to be humbly walking with You. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, take your hymn books.